Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 38 and 42 to 50. Hear the word of God. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. As for what you sow, you will not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What does it mean to be a Christian? Who's Jesus? Are these important traditions, important stories? What are these written words that inspire and challenge? Is there still room for spirituality? Is there still room for beauty? Is there room for wonder? Join La Jolla United Methodist Church as we learn or relearn what it means to be a Christian, as we learn that our sole job is to love.
When I came here a short distance from Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, one of the things that I had to learn is that leadership looks different in different communities. I came from a church where part of what I learned was the style of leadership that they needed was largely consensus building. And then I came to La Jolla, a community filled with capable leaders, strong leaders, strong personalities. And I observed that I needed to lead in a different way. I hope that I have lived up to that. You all can tell better from the outside than I can. But one of the things that I have learned that is sometimes a little bit different than those who portray some of the strongest leadership styles, one of the things that I have learned is I don't think that I can be an effective leader unless I am vulnerable, unless I am authentic. One of the things that maybe you've only observed as a stylistical thing, but really it's an intentional choice. Every time that I preach, when I talk about how to read a particular passage or the theological underpinnings, I don't know if you've noticed that very often the way I frame those things is, here's one way to read it. Or here's how I understand it. And I do that very carefully because I'm not telling you how to read it. I'm saying here's one way, here's how I read it or understanding. And the purpose for that is because I believe that our faith and spirituality is a journey. We've talked about this before. And if I might share a perspective that might help you to look at something in a new way, where we might find some agreement, that's beautiful. We can be together on that journey of faith and spirituality. And if it's something that we disagree about, great. We can have a conversation about that disagreement and we can journey faith and spirituality together. But I don't think I can frame it that way unless I bring my authentic self. And in the spirit of that authenticity, friends, I confess to you that I confess to you a lot. I confess to you that it's been very hard to learn how to lead and to get to know you all with COVID. There are all the pressures on any pastor, growing churches and increasing the number of people who are members and in worship, to be a strong leader among strong leaders. And I confess to you, friends, that doing those things, not only in the midst of a global pandemic, but in the midst of caring for a pastor who is hospitalized and wanting to nourish and cherish and teach him, doing so while experiencing divorce. There are days, my friends, where I feel like maybe I don't get to wear this stole. There are days that I wonder if the crosses that have been given by colleagues and friends might be better suited for others. That the cincture that I wear maybe isn't holding me together in the ways that I wish it would. And that the tradition of robes maybe aren't a tradition in which I might partake. I confess these things to you, my friends, not to start a pity party for Pastor Bob, but because I want to approach you in a way that is real, in a way that is whole, in a way that is authentic. I feel a little bit as though this echoes Paul's writings as he describes himself as the least of all the apostles. As he says, I have to work really hard at this, and I'm not always very good at it. My dad told me a story once. You know, my dad worked in the film industry, and he was on a film set. I'm pretty sure the actor was Jim Belushi on this film set. And there was some crew member off camera who was talking, and Belushi stopped, and he raised his voice at the crew. You might imagine the way we've heard about some actors who yell at the crew, but what Belushi said instead is, I'm not very good at this, and I have to work really hard, and I need your help. I feel like that's a lot of what Paul is writing in his letter to the churches in Corinth, these churches that are divided, these churches that are arguing, these churches where there are some communities who are saying, I'm more faithful, I'm more spiritual, I'm just better than you. And others trying to stand up for themselves, but maybe in that effort to stand up, maybe that bickering happens that sometimes happens between siblings or spouses or people of different membership in the armed services. Had that conversation this morning. Or different political parties. I feel like if Paul could, in a way that was appropriate, he would want to just pick up the whole church and shake it and say there's something bigger out there. And you're getting lost in the minutia. And yet, sometimes we find the minutia important. And so he addresses it. He talks about resurrection. As we focused on resurrection last week and continue this week, we said, well, maybe the questions aren't the helpful questions. Maybe they're not the right questions. It's interesting, in much of my reading, I found that we can get drawn aside if we read it in English. Now, I assume that none of you speak much Greek. But the part where it seems as though people are getting caught up is about bodily resurrection or not bodily resurrection. And Paul talks about it. Particularly in verse 44, he says, again in English, he said, it's sown a physical body and it's raised a spiritual body. And maybe it seems like that answers the question. And yet in our Apostles' Creed, we talk about a bodily resurrection. And so what are we to do with this? Until we look at that Greek. And in verse 44, where it talks about a physical body and a spiritual body, those words don't mean necessarily what we think that they mean. The Greek word in describing a physical body is actually the word psyche. And the Greek word used about a spiritual body is pneuma, the same word we use for the Holy Spirit. So maybe another way for us to look at it. A physical body, that which contains the soul. Don't get too caught up on that word yet, we'll get there. And a spiritual body, that which contains the spirit. Now, we often use the words soul and spirit interchangeably. But one commentary notes it in this way, saying, as I find the right page, what if we retranslate that first sentence to read, what is sown embodies the soul, what is raised embodies the spirit. What is sown embodies our creatureliness, and what is raised embodies the spirit. What if our creatureliness, our psyche, is that which is most attached to earthly things? And what if our pneuma, our spiritual body, is that which is attached to heavenly things? Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something Jesus has talked about over and over and over again? Or he would tell the crowds, you're looking at the earthly things. And you got to think bigger about the heavenly things. So as we talk about resurrection and the death or the loss of our creatureliness and our resurrection as spirit, I'm reminded of the quote from Marcus Borg, who wrote a blog post about death only about a year before he died, where he said, I don't know what happens. But also quoting Paul, said, if in this life I am to live into God, then in death I will die into God. and that is a good thing. There are lots of ways that we might embody or observe or learn. I like to use illustrations and stories. I like to use visuals like taking off my stole and my robe. And I also like to use music to help us experience these kinds of learnings. One of the most beautiful songs that I know is called Amazing Grace. But I would submit that you have not heard it quite this way before. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Blind, but now I see. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. So lost. the subtle difference between major and minor for my theory friends is not always based on the melodies or the root of those chords. It is based particularly on those notes that are not the root chords, the major and minor thirds. And the sixth. When we choose not to look at earthly things, but instead on heavenly things, when we choose not to only look inwardly, but look outwardly in connection, perhaps those are the times that we might feel as though the sum of our parts are greater, and that we might honor the tradition that is before us because we do so in connection. Because we do so in such a way that we are not alone. Because we do so as the body of Christ. Because we do so with all the little details that sometimes we remember and sometimes others do. That we do so maybe not held together by our own strength and our own ideas, but by the community. That the pressures that come along with leadership are not about one person's strengths or weaknesses, but about the confession, the admission that we journey together, loving and supporting one another along the way, lifting one another up and sharing the load of the yoke that is hard. The Spirit is that which strengthens and empowers and guides. Thanks be to God. Amen. Each week, I try to give you something tangible to do over the course of the week. This week, I would like for you to collaborate with someone. Maybe it'll be a collaboration within your home. Maybe it'll be a collaboration in your neighborhood. Maybe it'll be a collaboration in your workspace. Maybe it'll be a musical collaboration. Maybe it'll be an artistic collaboration. Maybe it'll be an engineering kind of collaboration. Maybe it'll just be getting kids together to play. This week, collaborate with someone and pay attention to how you feel in doing so.